On today's show, the Bucks shut down the Beam team in a predictably wild game on the road in Sacramento. There were massive performances. Giannis had 46. Chris Middleton was vintage with 31 and 9 assists. Brooke Lopez was huge, and he even resisted a choke slam at the end of this game from Trey Lyles before getting ejected and hitting the showers about 10 seconds earlier than everyone else. So we're going to break it all down. But the Bucks extend their lead at the top of the East. Let's get into it.
Backs him down. Giannis into the lane. Giannis spinning. Fading shot. Up. Good for Giannis at the buzzer. Bucks win it.
Kane Pittman, you can see and hear me on this show Monday to Friday, and also find my work at ESPN. Alongside me, the founder of BrewHoop.com and longtime voice of the podcast, also longtime Houston Rockets fan, Frank Madden. And as always, we thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first watch or first listen of every single weekday. Now, I say every weekday. We missed yesterday. I was traveling back from New Zealand. So apologies for that, but we always have a makeup show, and we'll definitely do that because there's so much to talk about at the moment as the Bucks make their run to the postseason. So subscribe, like, drop a comment, review, all those types of things. It really helps us with this show, and it's free to do. We appreciate everyone that takes the time to listen to the show. Today's episode is brought to you, Frank, by Ibotta. Ibotta gives you the cash back on hundreds of grocery items from produce to personal care to pantry goods. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code LOCKED. When you register, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the free Ibotta app. We'll have a little bit more about that later in the show. But let's get into this game, 133 to 124. Awesome game and predictably high scoring, predictably up and back. This is the way the Kings play. They're an awesome offensive team. But because of the Bucks' ability to score themselves, I always felt like they were in this game, even when they were down double digits in the first half. I wasn't getting too stressed out, but Frank, it was still really fun. And coming off the back of this loss to Golden State, I mentioned the 46 from Giannis, the 31 from Chris, the 23 from Brooke, and the fight. Where do you want to start?
Well, first off, let me explain for people watching, wondering why I'm wearing a Houston Rockets t-shirt, or people listening who can't see that I'm wearing a Houston Rockets t-shirt. This was a great night for my two teams, Kane, because my wife, being a Houston Rockets fan, I picked up this Rockets, this kind of vintage Rockets shirt like 6 years ago at a Rockets playoff game. I think it was a Rockets Clippers playoff series. And the Houston Rockets, you know, they beat the Bucks. They beat the Bucks in Houston earlier this year. Very disappointing game. But they did us a solid tonight. They take care of business against the Boston Celtics, get the Bucks back to three losses up on Boston to start the night, and then tee up a sumptuous matchup between, I mean, a resurgent, resplendent, whatever you want to call them. But I mean, easily the feel-good story of this season, I think, in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings, the Beam team, call them whatever you want. And I think what was so awesome about this game, I mean, going into the fourth quarter, I was just thinking to myself, man, I really hope the Bucks win this, because this has been a really fun game. Yeah. Bucks took some body blows in the first half. The Kings' three-point shooting early was obviously, you know, certainly a lot to take, and the Bucks were cold to start this game from three. Giannis was terrific right off the bat, came back from that layoff like he often does, shot out of a cannon, just getting to the basket at will, hit a couple threes even. But you just felt like, man, if they can just pull out this game and get back to being the team that we've seen in clutch situations in terms of being able to close out with their big three, you're going to feel like, man, this has the potential to be just a really awesome win. And depending on how it ends, like, this might be one of the best games of the season. Thankfully, the Bucks were able to get a big enough lead that it maybe wasn't quite, you know, up to the standard of like game of the season type stuff in terms of drama. But when you talk about, you know, just rising to the occasion, you're coming off a loss, a team that has not lost a whole lot in the calendar year 2023. And, you know, it's kind of one of these things like, you know, granted, hey, I'd love it if every opponent came in and shot, you know, 15% from three or something like that and made it easy for the Bucks. But this was a game that the Kings go 21 of 50 from three-point range. Kevin Huerter, 8 of 11 from three-point range. I mean, every time he shot the ball in the fourth quarter, he was coming off screens. Grayson Allen was doing his best to contest. I don't think the defense was bad. Every time he shot it, I was expecting it to go in. And it was just back and forth, back and forth. And the Bucks took every shot the Kings had tonight, and they dished it out back on the other end. And Giannis, obviously, 46 points. Nearly, he's never had 50 points on the road. I thought maybe he was going to get his first road 50 burger. Didn't quite get to that, but 46 points on 28 shots, 2 for 2 from three-point range, 6 out of 7 from the line, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, plus 15 in only 34 minutes. I mean, again, what more can we say about Giannis? But the fact that Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez did what they did on both ends, Chris, 31 points, had a pretty quiet first half. What did he have? Did he have like 26? I think he only had like 5 points or something in the first half, right? He didn't feel like he did a whole lot in the first half, but had a really big third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, big shot after big shot, making plays. And, you know, this is, we saw offensively, like, this is the promise of what the Bucks can be when they have Giannis, Chris, Drew, Brooke Lopez, and the other guys doing the other guy stuff. Drew tonight didn't have to do a whole lot, only 4 of 9 from the field, 11 points, but 8 assists, only 1 turnover. And Chris, we mentioned the 31 points on 9 of 15 shooting, the 3-point shot finally beginning to regress to the mean here, or progress to the mean, 5 out of 8 tonight. We knew he wasn't going to be under 30% for very long. 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 9 assists, 0 turnovers in 34 minutes. Maybe the 34 minutes is the biggest number of there, just given the fact that he's obviously had such a long ramp up. But now 2 straight games where he's obviously been extended into more typical Chris Middleton regular season minutes. And again, just really fun to see the fully functioning Death Star that we know the Bucks can be. And 43 points in the fourth quarter. Sacramento had a 120 offensive rating tonight, but the Bucks all season long, we've been waiting for that offense to kind of click consistently and to be kind of the unstoppable force that at least they've been in the regular season at times. Well, there's playoffs, it's been a little shakier. But we've seen them when they've needed to play at a really high level offensively. We know they can do that. We know they have the talent. We know they have the shooting around all these other guys. And so it was just really fun to see it. And I mean, what better way to end a really entertaining, high-scoring game with your best players playing at a high level than with some, you know, complete WWE action.
We will come back to the plot.
Once it was over. Thankfully, that didn't happen before the game was decided, because it would have sucked if, obviously, I mean, you would never want to trade a bum like Trey Lyles for Brooke Lopez in terms of ejection. So Trey Lyles, get the fuck out of here. Thankfully, Brooke Lopez stood up for his guy, Giannis, but it came after the game was decided with whatever 15 seconds left. So, yeah, just a very satisfying, fun win. Shout out to our friend Mitchell Maurer. He was there with his 2 sons tonight, got to see a fantastic, entertaining basketball game. And hey, I, the Kings are as likable a team as they will, as you will find. Maybe my third favorite team behind the Bucks and my Houston Rockets, Kane. But I was very happy to see the beam remain unlit tonight. Or if it was going to, I mean, maybe light it purple for Bucks purple. I don't know. But just a really fun night, and a big win on the front end of a really tough back-to-back with Phoenix tomorrow. And if you'd lost tonight and were staring at a potential 3-game losing streak tomorrow, that would not have been so fun. So to come out of this game with a win, super fun as a fan. And I think we deserve it too. I mean, especially if you're Central or East time zone, stay up late. It's 11:50 right now as we record this. If I was doing this for a loss, I would be a little prickly, Kane. And I'm happy. I'm always happy when I'm not prickly.
Yeah, time change really caught me off kilter here as I was trying to get some stuff organized this week. Not favorable for Australia. Shifts everything a little bit later, so perhaps not ideal for me selfishly. But shout out to everyone that did stay up late for this game. The more Chris Middleton stuff to come here, because the last time we podcasted at the end of last week, as predictable, we see it a lot, Frank. We're well aware of how the narrative can quickly turn on Chris Middleton, despite everything he's done for this team. So we'll talk about Chris Middleton a little bit more and continue to roll through what you said was a really fun game. And now the Bucks are 49-19. They have a chance for win number 50 tomorrow. And I've still got 10 minutes to say tomorrow against the Phoenix Suns. So we've got plenty to discuss as we continue to roll through. But I bought her. I mentioned this at the start of the podcast. Now, groceries, school shopping, getting a little something for yourself, you know you're already doing it. So why not get cash back for it? And you can do that with Ibotta. You can earn cash back on every shopping trip. Ibotta gives you cash back on hundreds of grocery items from produce to personal care to pantry goods. Either link your loyalty account or upload your receipt after you shop to get your cash back. It sounds like a pretty sweet deal to me. The average Ibotta user earns $120 a year in real cash back. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, or you could use your cash back to buy that flight you've been eyeing, or perhaps put the cash into a little kitty that you can buy Milwaukee Bucks Fiserv Forum postseason tickets with. So there is a lot that you can do with that type of cash. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners or viewers $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code LOCKED. When you register, just go to the App Store or Google Play and download the free Ibotta app and use the code LOCKED. You spell this I-B-O-T-T-A because I know someone will be out there and they'll be saying, what are you even saying, Kane? I-B-O-T-T-A. Download it in the Google Play or App Store and don't forget to use the code LOCKED. So it's fun and I make no... or I cast no illusions over the fact that I am what you would qualify, a Chris Middleton stan. I love this man. I will defend him to the death. But they have, look, we've seen it all year, and this has been a concern. The amount of Chris Middleton podcasts we've done through this season about what is actually happening. We think he's the key to this championship run. There was all the talk before the trade deadline, the extension stuff, which we shift to the back end of the season. But the Bucks have been slowly, and even the messaging out of Milwaukee hasn't exactly filled me with confidence in terms of where he has been progressing. And we said, look, you're starting to run out of time if you want to get him back into the starting lineup. We had this podcast literally only about 10 days ago where we were discussing that. He's come back into the starting lineup. I don't know how many times they've had Giannis, Chris, Brooke, and Drew in the same starting lineup this season. It can't be many more than five, maybe, something like that. So to see them out there, to see Chris get to that 34 minutes, as you mentioned, and there was a number of things that he did throughout this game, and he's had good moments over the last couple of weeks. But that last play where he got the switch out to Sabonis on the perimeter, he backs up, and we've seen this, him do this a million times, but it's just nice to get that in front of you in a big moment. And sometimes he pulls up for the three, but this time he penetrated, did the little spin. Sabonis can't do anything with this, and then he just knocks it down as cool as you like. And we've seen him get to those spots. That game that they had last week where he was about 5 for 18 and we were discussing the idea that I actually liked the shots that he was taking and he was comfortably getting the looks, but he just didn't knock them down. So it is nice, as you pointed to see him hit those shots. But that was my favorite. Almost, well, there's some different moments for the night, but just being able to knock down that one, I was like, oh, yeah, this is bringing me 2021 vibes.
Yeah, I mean... you know, especially as we think about like age curves, like, oh, you know, how's he feeling physically and all that? I mean, of course, like we love it to see Chris get like a blow by and get to the rim and do stuff that like suggests, you know, the athleticism is coming back and things like that. But, you know, we also know like that's never really exactly how Chris has has made his money in the NBA. Right. That's sort of the keep him honest type thing. I think the shots where, you know, it's the shot that no one else on the roster, you want taking that shot. But with Chris, the fadeaways, the step backs, the shots that really the defense is helpless to stop. The defense does its job. And against, you know, 98% of the league, you'd say like, man, why'd that guy take that shot? But with Chris, he's just so good and can stay under control. And, you know, again, just when you talk about like the best shooters on the team, right? And we've had this kind of discussion at various points, right? Obviously, Chris's three-point shooting has not been where he wants it to be this year. It was a little down last year as his volume went up at 37%. But when you talk about, you know, just the array of jump shots and the touch that he has, it's just so impressive. And, you know, kudos to Drew Holiday too. I mean, Drew definitely wins the shooting behind the backboard award over Chris. But, you know, in terms of mid-range, obviously both guys have become really good. But with Chris, you know, there's nobody I would rather see taking a tough shot than Chris Middleton. It is why he has been coined the Tough Shot Express. Yes. At times, you know, at times said with a little bit of derision, right? When the ball's not going in, Tough Shot Express, not always
It's just nice to see the train leaving the station, Frank. That's what I'll say. Hey.
But between the A train, as our dear friend Marcus Johnson refers to Giannis in transition, and the Tough Shot Express of Chris Middleton, it's we're just really fun to watch. And obviously this was a vintage performance, seeing both of those guys playing at such a high level. And you know, I thought Chris in Saturday night game, unfortunately he had shout out to friend of the pod Alex Goodkin. Alex referred to it in a chat I was in when Chris late in the fourth quarter dribbled in and then literally just like fell down and lost the ball, and it led to a break the other way. I hate to be a buzzkill here, even acknowledging that game happened, but Alex referred to it as a life alert moment for Chris Middleton. The help, I've fallen and I can't get up moment. That was not so great tonight, though. I thought otherwise, though. I mean, he played pretty well, I thought, against the Warriors. Obviously wasn't able to play the full overtime period. They kind of managed his minutes a little bit, and kind of unfortunately the game got away from them before he was able to get in. But tonight, again, even starting, oh no, he's starting. Like, how are they ever going to stagger lineups and maintain the magic of the 16 game win streak? Look, when he plays 34 minutes, it's not a problem. You can stagger these guys. And again, because it's not just, a little bit quieter night for Drew tonight, but his distribution was good. Obviously, he had a really tough job. Again, in a different way tonight, had the very tough cover of Steph Curry on Saturday. Tonight, he has to deal with De'Aaron Fox, who's obviously just taking his game to another level since Tyrese Halliburton was traded and Sabonis comes to Sacramento. But that was a fun battle to watch. And man, I mean, the Kings just – oh, man, the effort level, right? I think like in a close game, especially even as a fan, like you almost like feel the intensity and the effort level, whether it was, Grayson Allen having to chase Kevin Huerter around these screens, Jay Crowder having to, at times, to try to chase guys around screens, Drew Holiday having to decide on those dribble handoffs with Sabonis. Is he going over? Is he going under? What's he doing with De'Aaron Fox? This was just super high level basketball, right? I mean, if people were watching NCAA tournament basketball this weekend, and then flipped on this game, I think you would have said like, okay, these are maybe not two different sports, but these are very different beasts. The level of play that NBA players can play at, the shot making, the athleticism. I mean, we haven't even talked about Giannis, right? Like this is one of those classic games where Giannis is incredible, 46 points on 19 of 28 shooting. And we're probably going to barely talk about him because so much other interesting stuff happened. But just a super fun game to watch. And to see Chris Middleton obviously looking like old Chris Middleton, he's not going to be that every night. We know that's not how things work. But just seeing him get back progressively more and more to the levels that we want to see him at, and do it in a starting role, and obviously seeing the Bucks play at a level and seeing that offense really begin to click was just super fun. And yeah, nice little way to start Monday, right? Nice little Monday, late Monday night. Of NBA basketball.
All right, we are going to get to Giannis because, as you rightly pointed out, and it is just so funny, I mean, he had 46 damn points in this game and was unstoppable at the start. But I want to talk about Giannis through the lens of his wrist. We know that he spent a couple of times out. And then the idea of, quote-unquote, protector for Giannis, because that's what Brook Lopez was doing, and we should talk about that. Little shenanigans at the end of this game a little bit more, because I already know my tweets are going off. People want to hear about the fight. So we're going to get to that after we talk about FanDuel. And I've got an update on the championship odds, by the way. But the road to the postseason is here, and it is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained. You can even bet on the NBA championship. Surprise, surprise. And the Milwaukee Bucks, your favorite for the NBA championship at +290 at FanDuel. The Boston Celtics going down to Frank's Houston Rockets +310. Then the Denver Nuggets at +650 there. So the Bucks and the Celtics still the two teams at the top. And as we said, the Bucks have got a little bit of a gap there now in the standings as well. So don't miss your chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So I messaged our DM at one point, and I think it was late during the third quarter or early in the fourth, and I said something like, Brook Lopez is just an absolute monster, because he was just going through this stretch where he was blocking shots, then he would knock down a three, then he'd put the ball on the floor and dish a look-away assist to Jay Crowder cutting on the baseline. He's just in an unbelievable stretch of form, and he was fantastic again tonight, 23 points, 8 rebounds, the 4 assists, and 3 blocks to go with it in 37 minutes. He played more minutes in this game than anyone else on the front end of a back-to-back. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bucks do management-wise for this game against Phoenix, who are also on a back-to-back themselves. We can get to that a bit after. But this is always a topic with the fans. Protect Giannis, the physicality, teams get away with stuff against him. And you could visibly see after this fight that Lopez was mouthing something along the lines of, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Don't do that to Giannis. And when you look at the photos, I mean, first of all, Trey Lyles had him in a chokehold. Like, it was, Brook Lopez had every damn right to not only push Trey Lyles out of the way in the first place, because he gave a little shove to Giannis for some reason, like, piss off. But the idea of Brook Lopez stepping in and just saying, I don't care. And would he have done that in the first quarter? Who knows? I get the sense he might have. But it sounded like he was just sitting there saying, I'm not putting up with this crap. Don't do that to Giannis, and I'm willing to get myself thrown out to protect the superstar, which I think in a broader sense, you just love to see.
Yeah, I mean, Brooke and Robin, right, they're so funny because they're like the best teammates. They're really smart, thoughtful people, not just players, but they're very smart, thoughtful people. You know, the most disarming guys, right? Like, who could hate Brook Lopez, right? Like, even on the basketball floor, right? He never does like dirty stuff. Like, he's, you know, just the most likable guy, right? I mean, I tweeted two things tonight over this game. I tweeted my joke thing after the Celtics beat the Rockets that, you know, my wife, letting people remind people that my wife is a Houston Rockets fan, and a picture of me with the score and my Rockets shirt. And then I waited until the end of the game, and as Brooke was getting ejected, I wrote, I would die for Brook Lopez in all caps, because that was the feeling I was getting. And I think all Bucks fans who were up and feeling like, you know, charged up, energized, pissed off that, you know, Trey Lyles, bum ass Trey Lyles, 2 for 7, 6 points. Trey Lyles taking, remember that heat check he took from like 30 feet in the first half, and just like
Marcus Johnson nearly fell out of his chair,
like,
I think.
Like, Trey Lyles, like, man, like, you're like the one dude I was happy to see on the floor because you suck tonight and couldn't do anything with Giannis. And then, I mean, what's he like, you know, Giannis is dreaming out the clock. He's right next to Trey Lyles. Like, I don't know, if, like, did he say something or something? I don't know. But, like, he fouls him. And then just, like, it's like, why are you, like, what's the freaking point? Like, you're pushing him in the back? I mean, like, what are you, Marcus Smart? Like, you know, come on. And so, of course, yeah, I mean, you love to see Brooke saying, I got your back, especially with Giannis. I mean, Giannis, he's got this hand thing, you know. I mean, Sabonis has been playing with a broken thumb all year. I mean, the Kings should appreciate, you know, that these star players like need to be protected, because who knows what guys might be trying to do, you know, slapping at hands and doing things to try to throw them off a bit with those injuries. I couldn't see on the replay, you know, if there's anything about like with his hand or whatever, but I don't know. I couldn't tell if he was like trying to like tap him in the nuts and the wallabies. I don't know, Kane, you're the wallaby expert here in terms of shots to the wallabies. I don't know. But Giannis was kind of like, screw this, ready to move on. And Brooke comes in and is just like, WTF. And yeah, I mean, the choke move from Trey Lyles, I mean, especially like once the other guys went, I mean, he was like really like gripping. It looked like he was really gripping Brooke hard by the throat. And I don't know. I mean, I really hope there's, I mean, I don't think Brooke should be suspended, because I mean, he was just like grabbing him by the back of the head at the end. Right. He was reacting. It was clearly, you know, I mean, Lyles literally started it. And then in terms of like the physical confrontation, like the physical violence, like Lyles then escalated it as well. So I mean, I hope he's given a, you know, call it a one gamer. There's very few multi-game suspensions in the NBA. Like, I feel like this oftentimes happens. Like, there's like some cheap shot or something, and people are like, oh, you know, 5-game suspension. It's like, there's like almost never 5-game suspensions, like, for a violent guy. It's like always just like, you know, even just like a punch is usually like 1 game, unless you're somebody who's like knocked out like multiple people or something like that. So I'd be shocked if Brooke got any type of suspension here, a fine, sure. But Trey Lyles, well, I mean, it would probably help the Kings if they suspend Trey Lyles for a game. So maybe they shouldn't suspend him, but throw the book at him. No, I take that back. I want him to find a game check. So do the right thing, NBA. Put Trey Lyles in street clothes next game, because we don't need that. We don't need people going after national treasure Brooke Lopez. Come on. So I loved it. And I mean, you mentioned the stat line, but we'll say it again. 37 minutes. Brooke Lopez, nearly 35 years old, having, as we discussed the other night, I've thought about it some more, the best season of his career, 23 points on 14 shots, 4 of 6 from three, hit a couple huge ones in the second half, those 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He had that beautiful, like, no-look pass on a drive to Jay Crowder in the fourth quarter. I mean, Brooke is not a passer, right? He's not selfish, but he's not a passer. But he's, I got to say it too, like there's just been moments this year where it really does feel like the passing has been infectious with this whole team. Bobby Portis, I feel like, has been a much better passer this year. Brooke tonight, I mean, 4 assists is like a crazy number for him. Only 1 turnover, which was a terrible call when he was getting locked up and Giannis on him for that, like, just like, you know, Nerf hoop dunk in the fourth quarter. That was a terrible call. But plus 21 in those 30 minutes, he scores 23 points. And what a physical matchup with Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis, 23 points, 17 rebounds, 15 assists. I mean, those are obviously huge numbers. But look at the shooting. Look at the shooting from Sabonis. 23 points, but he took 23 shots. Didn't take a single free throw. 11 of 23. He was 10 for 21 inside the arc. So that's all Brooke Lopez. And while Brooke was plus 21, Domantas Sabonis was a minus 19 tonight. And Domantas Sabonis is a tremendous player. But you saw it, I think, especially as the game wore on. I mean, in the second half, I thought the level of intensity the Bucks showed in protecting the rim, and obviously that all starts with Brooke, was just tremendous. And, you know, unfortunately, they kept giving up offensive rebounds, which, you know, unfortunately was a recurring theme from the other night as well. The Kings had the 32% offensive rebound rate tonight. Bucks only 16%. That is not something we typically see, right, that the Bucks get crushed on the offensive glass and then can't do anything on their own end. So that was probably the most frustrating thing. The 3-point shooting by the Kings, you know, a lot of that was just sort of like tip your hat type stuff. But, you know, just the work and the effort by Brooke to protect the rim, to make Sabonis work for every single one of his buckets. And I mean, you know, I would have said earlier this year, man, like Brooke Lopez, defensive player of the year candidacy, like, come on, he's not really, stuff's going to happen. Like the stars, whatever, are going to steal too much of, you know, the spotlight for that. But, you know, has the 9 blocks, including the game clincher against the Nets, should have had the game clinching block on Saturday night. If Drew doesn't inexplicably like try to push the ball up the floor and dribble out of bounds. And then tonight, just an awesome, like, you know, 2 gladiators just like pounding on each other between Sabonis and Brooke. And, you know, again, Sabonis obviously had moments where, you know, he was able to go right at Brooke and use his strength and get buckets. And obviously his facilitation was really good, but that's not, you know, that's not a Brooke Lopez problem. And again, don't you remember, Kane, remember the good old days when people would be like, oh, Brooke Lopez, you can't win with him playing zone drop, like, oh, the Bucks zone drop, like they can't win that way. And they win an NBA championship doing a whole lot of that. And Brooke, you know, after last year, how the hell did the Bucks win 52 games with him missing most of last season? I almost want to like relive, like figure out like how the hell they were so good last year. Obviously having Chris and Drew and Giannis healthy for most of the year is the obvious reason. And Giannis was incredible in particular last year. But man, you just can't say enough about Brooke Lopez. Just again, I will step in. I will get killed by an NBA player to stand side by side with Brooke Lopez in the trenches, Kane. There were reports of Mitchell's son, Ollie, was out looking for Trey Lyles in the bowels of whatever the what is there? What is the Sacramento?
Golden One Center.
Golden One Center. Yes. I don't know is Ollie like 7 years old or something, 8 years old? I don't know. He was looking for Trey Lyles post game. He was ready to fight with Brooke Lopez too, as we all should.
Absolutely. And I'm just glad that you've come back and opened your eyes to potentially discussing Brook Lopez, because you were very frustrated the other night when I asked you whether he was playing career best basketball. And
well, I wasn't paying attention. I mean, Kane, I'm not a Bucks. I do not have Bucks DNA. I'm very selfish. I'm only looking to get off my own takes. I'm not listening. I'm not a team player. I would not do well on this Bucks team. You, on the other hand, are the ultimate Bucks player. That's why I'm wearing a Rockets shirt right now, because I'm a look. This is like a James Harden selfish era, you know, shirt right here that I've got on. So, thankfully, you embody what the Bucks are about as Brook Lopez.
Well, the Rockets helped out the Bucks tonight, so we love to see it. So, if we look at the standings, the Bucks 49-19, the Celtics 47-23. So, I wonder, because we believe that the Bucks are going and they're trying to get the number one seed here. And yeah, at the same time, you have to have a bit of self-preservation with guys and who plays when. We saw Joe Ingles didn't play tonight on the front end of the back-to-back. I suspect he does tomorrow, which means does Chris Middleton play after playing 34? I kind of suspect that he won't.
Yeah,
but
I think they rest. I would guess they rest him tomorrow night. I just don't think they're going to push it. And again, as we were saying the other night, like, It's not like he has to be able to play back to backs for the playoffs or something.
No, you just want to get to where he is.
Yeah, exactly. Just stay at the level where you can play, you know, 35 minutes. Hopefully by the playoffs he'll be up. He can play 40 as needed. But yeah. And but Boston has 22 losses, so just they're it's 47-22.
Ah, got that.
You got my hopes up for a minute there. I was like, wait a minute, they have 23 losses. But they're not. They're basically tied in the loss column with Philly now, which is really interesting because Philly has been on a heater, and now all of a sudden, I mean, again, like
Boston, no home court in the second round. Huh?
I mean, it'd be interesting. I mean, again, like I mainly just want the all I care about is the Bucks keeping this one seed at this point, and hopefully not dropping below two. But with Philly the way they're charging, I mean, again, those two games against Philly and Boston at home. I mean, if you can take those two, obviously those would be huge. Those are like double points, basically, right? In the standings, being able to get those would get you home court, would get you the tiebreaker against Boston, and also would ensure that you don't lose the tiebreaker against Philly if you can get that one that's left against the Sixers.
So we'll see what happens in this Suns game. Obviously, no Kevin Durant, and Bucks fans don't need to be reminded about the dangers of wet spots. Just a ridiculous injury for Kevin Durant in a warm-up. So he won't be
Chris out Middleton, there. Was Chris Middleton out there sweating on the Suns floor or something like that? Is that what happened there? I don't know.
I got no damn idea. But the Bucks and the Suns played a really fun one recently. They'll go at it again tomorrow night or tonight now. We've crossed over into game day, so they'll be playing tonight on a back-to-back, and the Suns went down to the Warriors tonight, so we'll see who plays for both of these teams. But nonetheless, I'm sure it's going to be another really, really fun game. Don't forget to check out the Game to Game podcast on your Locked On NBA feed to get recaps from around the NBA from all the Locked On hosts. You might even get the Sacramento Kings perspective of the Brook Lopez Trey Lyles incident at the end of this game. So make sure you check out the Locked On Game to Game podcast on your Locked On NBA feed. Also, make sure you comment, subscribe, like, review, and all that stuff for Locked On Bucks. We appreciate you guys. And I've just got a sneaking suspicion that there will be plenty of comments after this podcast, and probably lots of people watching and listening. And we love it because we're playing serious basketball, Frank. Like, I can feel it myself. I'm starting to get really excited about these games and the postseason. 15 games away, not even. I'm ready. Yeah,
and let's just end it with one more shout out to Giannis. I mean, we probably should have talked more about it, considering we hadn't seen him in, you know, 10 days or whatever. It's been 25 days since the initial injury in Chicago where he hurt his hand slash wrist. I would definitely be feeling better if he was not still showing up on this injury report every game as questionable with the sore hand. You know, it is what it is. I mean, the interesting thing is his 3-point shooting. He's actually shot the ball like from three surprisingly well here when he has played. Unfortunately, this is just, I think, the fifth time in, I want to say, 11 games that he's actually, like, you know, started and finished a basketball game for the Bucks between all these, you know, the random injuries, the quad against Miami, the missing these last few games as well. But man, he just came out physically, you just knew the Kings had no chance at keeping up with him. Didn't matter how many bodies they tried to throw at him. And he hits the two out of two threes, looked confident from the free throw line as well. Again, hopefully the hand feels good tomorrow, and you know, would love obviously for him to feel good enough to play. Because again, the upside, if he's missing games because of the hand, the good news is he's also getting to rest his knees and recharge those knees. And it is remarkable when he's come back from, you know, sitting out games, he's had just some absolutely monster performances this year. And tonight was no exception, almost that elusive road 50 burger. But we'll take 46 on 19 out of 28. That's pretty good too. And I need to check here. I've been refreshing here, Cam. I'm hoping that he can finally get over 60% true shooting, which is a weird thing that I care about, which most people do not. But and that's why I was okay with him getting that rebound taken away from him in Washington, because it meant a shot miss also got taken away from him. So, but anyway, Giannis, the ultimate, you know, MVP candidate that we just take for granted. We do it ourselves. We try to be cognizant of it. But he was just irresistible, and you know, he was hitting some kind of little hook shots and stuff too tonight. It just felt like he was like, these dudes have nothing on me. I'm getting the rim every time. And it was, I don't know, it was one of those games where Mitchell and his sons, and it seemed like there were a decent number of Bucks fans in the house. They got a show, right? I mean, it was a great game, but they got an experience watching Giannis do what he does best. And shout out to Giannis and Chris connecting on one of those sideline out of bounds alley-oops. Might've been the first one this year. I don't know if they've had another one so far this year, but that was a lot of fun. And let's keep the good mojo going in what is it going to be, Kane? 18 hours from now, or whenever the heck this next basketball game is. So we'll see. I'm going to be running on fumes tomorrow night, probably.
Bring it on, and I'm going to finish this podcast with a stat that the Milwaukee Bucks have just tweeted out. Giannis recorded his sixth 45-10 game this season. Over the last 50 seasons, only two players recorded more in a season. And you'd be interested to know that they both won the MVP in that season. All right, we'll be back after the Bucks and the Suns. It was a fun one tonight. Hopefully you all enjoyed the show.